Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to New Beginnings Ministries Wednesday night Bible study. Today is January 20th, 2016, and it is 7:05. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and I am Suzanne, and my husband's name is John. And we welcome you to New Beginnings Ministries Interactive Bible Study. When we say interactive, what do I mean? I mean that you can call in, you can join in the conversation, or you can listen. You can listen by way of internet, and you can even chat. The chat room is open. So if you go to Blog Talk Radio and look for New Beginnings Ministry, and you'll see my handsome husband's picture there and a picture of an eagle, you'll know you're at the right address. And just write us a message. And if it's something that you want me to read online, on air, so that everyone can respond, or a question or a comment or whatever, if you just want to say that you're glad to be here, praise the Lord, we welcome you to join us in the chat room, online, via telephone, or however you wish. I also want to remind you that all of our messages are archived. Every single Bible study has been archived for the last few years. So if you go to the website, you can go back and revisit a message that was may have been broadcast months ago, and it's still there. You can also share messages, the archived messages, by copying the link and sending it to your friends and family via your cell phone, internet, however you choose. But it's there and it's available to you. So welcome. I hope everyone is staying warm. We're up north in Ohio, and I tell you, it is cold, cold, cold. But praise God, this is the way it's supposed to be in January in Ohio. So this evening, our speaker is Pastor Dawn Nixon out of Long Island, New York. And her message this evening is, you don't need this water. So we're going to open with prayer, and then I'm going to turn the floor over to Pastor Dawn Nixon.
Father, we come before your throne of grace, Lord. We thank you for goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for where you brought us. And Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that as we go through this Bible study, we would all be on one accord. Father, Lord, we pray that you would just minister to the speaker, Heavenly Father, as the word is spoken, Heavenly Father, that hearts are touched and minds are changed. Father, we ask for those who are tuning in, who are sick and afflicted, Heavenly Father, we pray a blessing, a corporate blessing upon them in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for who you are, what you're going to do, and we look forward, Heavenly Father, to all that's going to happen in the majestic name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Pastor Dawn Nixon, are you there?
Yes, I am. God bless you.
Hi.
How are you?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Welcome. I hope you're warm.
No, we're cold here, too. But I'm in a warm spot, thank God.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, warm us up with the word, okay?
All right. I'm so glad to be with you on the line today. Please find somebody that may not be in Bible study or service tonight, and ask them to please call and get on the line. We have a mighty word for you tonight. Title may seem a little strange to you, but we have something to say, I believe, to edify the body of Christ. I just want to thank all of you who have come on the line tonight. I believe that this is going to be a good season and a good new year for all of us. I'm praying that the blessings of the Lord will be over your life. I want to get right to the word on tonight. We're going to be coming from the Gospel according to John, chapter 5. We want to read the first 10 verses of this particular chapter of this Gospel, rather. And we want to see things maybe a little bit differently than maybe others do. I realize that there is no new Bible. So there must be a fresh revelation, and so we're looking for God to say something today. I know you've already prayed, but I just want to add a prayer on tonight. God, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to glean in your word. We thank you so much for the word that gives us direction and understanding. We pray on this night that, God, you will bless us, feed our spirits and our soul, pour into us. God, that will help us to live. I pray today that those who are listening on tonight, that, God, you will say something to them that will be life-changing for them, that after they have heard this broadcast on today, they will not leave this place or leave this broadcast the same way that they came into it, but they'll come out knowing more, doing better. And, God, we know that you have been a God who is by our side, God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. We thank you for carrying us all the way to our destination, believing and trusting, God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. So we're going to be coming out of the Gospel according to John 5, verses 1 through 10. We will be reading the New King James Version. And the first verse starts with, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, or blind, halted, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time, a certain season, into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the other version of me say, wilt thou be made well? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise up, take your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day, he was the Sabbath, and the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. All right, as we said, our subject on today is you don't need this water, or you don't need to use this water. Here in this text is an impotent man who is dealing with an infirmity. There are many of us who are so structured in our life that we're so organized that we have no room for change. We become so used to our environment that we become like an everyday centerpiece that people overlook because they know we will always be there doing the same thing over and over again, expecting nothing because we're waiting for others to make change happen for us. But what I've realized that is change can only happen when we do something different out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. But we become such a product of our environment that we become just like furniture, and we're just doing the same thing over and over again that is the norm to us, and we continue to do the norm because it is what we are accustomed to. We have allowed our lives to stay in a confined place, not because we don't want better, but because we have the fear of stepping into failure. I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to hear that. We stay in a confined place, not because we don't want better for ourselves, but because we have fear of stepping into failure. One thing you have to understand is you should never accept being a failure because the process of being blessed seems too hard to do. We want blessings from God, but we don't want to go through anything to get the blessing. And so instead of going after what we need from God and what God wants for us, we end up staying in a place of failure because we said, that's just too difficult for me. I don't think it's going to take all that. So we accept failure because the process seems too hard. But what we must understand is that when we deal with faith, our faith walk has no visible staircase. There's no way you can see where God is going to take you because sometimes we get so into the place that we want to see where we're going. But a lot of times, if we see what we have to go through to get where we're going, then we'll never make another step in life because, again, we don't want to deal with the confrontation or we don't want to deal with life, what life has to offer us in order for us to get the blessing. And so, there are many people who rather sit where they are and do what they've been doing all along because I don't want to face the challenges that life has to offer. But anybody that wants greatness knows that they're going to have to go through a process. Before a diamond can shine, it has to go through a process. Before gold can shine, it has to go through a process for you to see the value or the worth of what it is. And so I want to encourage all of my sisters and brothers who are listening on the air today that you're going to have to go through the process of something in order for greatness to come about. And so I want to encourage you tonight that there is great in you. It's just that sometimes in the process, you're going to go through some uncomfortable positions and you're going to have to go through some uncomfortable things that are going to make you uneasy. But I promise you that after it's all over, it will be worth what you've gone through. And so we won't want to get to a place that we sit in a place where we don't want to make any steps or make any moves because we are scared of what will happen. And so we have to get to the place where we trust God and we serve him and we believe that whatever his permissive will is for us, that he's going to perform it. And even though I may not be happy where I am right now, doesn't mean that there is not happiness around my corner. When I look at this particular text, I see a man who has been at this pool called Bethesda. Bethesda is a place of blessing or a place of flowing water. The Bible tells us that this man had been by this pool for at least 38 years. If I can take the word or the number 38 and kind of look at the number 30 for a second. The number 30 means dedicated to a particular task or call. Here this man in this text has embraced the consequences of his failure. He becomes dedicated to his illness. And sometimes we don't even realize how dedicated we have become to things that give us no purpose or have nothing to help our life's journey. But somehow, because we don't want to change anything because we're scared or fearful of the thing, we embrace what we don't want. And when we embrace what we don't want, we find ourselves never moving in the direction of where we're supposed to go. I oftentimes, whenever I'm on the air, I always talk about promise and destiny because I want people to understand that even if you're moving slow in your destiny, to your destiny or to your promise, as long as God gives you the activities of your limbs and he gives you breath in your body, you always have opportunity to make it to your promise or your destiny. And so when I look at the number 30, 30 means that he has embraced this, the consequences, he's dealing with the task at hand, he's accepted what's going on. And so now I'm looking at 38, but now I look at the number 8. Number 8 means new beginnings. And just because I may be in a place where things are not going rightfully does not mean that I don't look for a new beginning. Doesn't mean that I'm not looking for a way out of what I'm in. Because sometimes we get so confined, yet we still are looking for a new beginning. We're looking for an outcome. You've got to understand, no matter how far your back is against the wall, you always have to look for another way out, because God will give you an opportunity that when you do come out of whatever you're in, it's an opportunity to have a new beginning, to start all over again. And that's what you should want. You should never get so comfortable in your place of failure. No, you should never be so comfortable where you are that you're not looking for a way out. And so here this man, even though he's there, he's always looking for a way out. The Bible says that there was a certain time of the day that the angel would come down and trouble the water. This man can only see his way out by looking at the only way I can be blessed is if I can get in the pool at the time that the angel comes down. Oh, my God, this man has been sitting here for 38 years waiting for the opportunity to get in the pool at the right time. There's somebody out here today who's looking to get to a place, and you want to get there at the right time. The Bible says Jesus shows up while this man is in his situation, and he realizes that this man has been in this situation for a long period of time. Oh, my God, there's something about this man, because this man, it wasn't that because he could not get up. It was that he could not get up in time. And so then there's this man who says, well, I can't get in this water. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it. I've been trying for 38 years. I've been trying to synchronize myself to be able to get there just in time, maybe just to get to the edge of the pool before somebody else does. And I believe that every time that the angel was coming, he may have thought, this is my day. This is going to be the day of my turnaround. This is going to be the day of my opportunity. And so I want to know that this, I want you to know that this man was at the pool, but every day there was an expectancy that maybe this would be the day that I will have my life changed forever. But not realizing, Jesus shows on the scene. He says, Jesus simply says to him, do you want to be made well? The man says, yes, I want to be made well, I want to be made whole, but here is the problem with the man is the man says, but there is no one that will put me into the pool when the water is stirred. Okay, I need to help somebody right here, because there are those of you who are waiting on somebody in order for you to get to your destiny. And sometimes you got to get to the place where you're going to have to make things happen on your own. You know, there's sometimes we use excuses of why we cannot be blessed, because we say there's nobody that will help push me into my destiny. We make excuses of why we can't get this or why we can't do that. But I believe that there is another way out. It's just like the man who was laying on his bed, and he had four men who had enough love for him that when they found out that Jesus was in the house and the crowd was so great, that they could not come through the windows nor the doors. They said there has to be another way in to get to Jesus. I come to let somebody know today that there has to be another way to get to your blessings. They said, well, we can't go through the crowd. We can't go around the crowd, so let's go up. And I come to let somebody to know this this season and this time and this year, when you get to a place where you don't know how to get out of your situation, you got to look up and know that there's a place. It's time for you to go up into the next place of your destiny, because when they took him up, they took him to a place that laid right before where Jesus was. Here this man is looking at Jesus, and Jesus is asking him a question in the text. Do you want to be well? His excuses and his reasons are that I cannot get into the pool because I have nobody to help me when the water is stirred. So So Jesus lets the man know. Well, when I think about Jesus, and I started looking at the text, I started looking at the man thinking the only way that he could get delivered or set free and be healed was if he could get in this particular water when the water is stirred. But it reminds me when Jesus met the woman at the well. When I think about Jesus meeting the woman at the well, he says to this woman, "Give me to drink." And the woman says to him, "Why would you come to a well and have nothing to draw water with?" It came at a certain time of the day that nobody would really even be there to draw water. The Bible says that the woman says to him, "Why would you come with nothing to draw from?" And he said, "If you knew who you were talking to, you would realize that the water that I give you, oh my God, if you drink of the water that I have, then you will never thirst again." Well, I'm seeing the well from that particular time here in action again. Here is Jesus talking to a man who is waiting on water to deliver him. But here we have talked about Jesus, how he is the well of water that springs up. Now, here is a well talking to somebody who wants to be well. Y'all have to understand this is a wonderful revelation of what God has given me. Here is a well of water saying to you, you do not have to use this particular water that you're looking at and that you've been looking at for 38 years. I have some water that's been stirred for many years. Yeah, I've got some water that I can give you, and the water that I have ain't just for drinking. This water I have is a water that can heal your soul. This water is a water that causes you to live. He says you don't have to use this water. In other words, you don't have to wait for the troubling of the water. He says you can be healed right now. Do you want to be made whole? The first thing you have to understand is that you have to want to. You have to desire to want to be made whole. You have to desire that you want something from God. God never lays hands on him. He never touches his legs. He never touches this man. He just simply asks him the question, do you want to be made well? So he doesn't heal the man, but he challenges him. He challenges him to pick up his bed and walk. He challenges the man to tell him that there is another way out. I'm giving you an opportunity. And while everybody is waiting for the trouble of the water, of the pool, he says, I'm giving you an opportunity that you don't have to sit here another 38 years. If you want to be healed, you can be healed right now. Jesus comes on the scene and lets him know, I'm coming to let somebody know that when you are in the presence of God, it gives you an opportunity to see God, and the way you think that you're going to be blessed doesn't necessarily mean that's how God's going to bless you. I believe there's some people that believe the only way that they can be blessed is if they scratch a lotto ticket or get the Powerball. I believe that God has another way of blessing you, and the problem is we have to come to an understanding that we have to accept the blessing in the way that God gives it. Some folk will get upset if their enemy will bless them. When you get to the point where you understand that however you bless me, God, I'm going to be satisfied. God will make your enemies your footstool, and they'll cause them to bless you. But you can't have the attitude, I don't want to be blessed that way, because I don't want it to come from this individual. Can I tell you, when God is ready to explode you and take you to the next step of your destiny, you can't be in a place where you really care how he does it. Just know that he's going to do it. And so we sit in the place, even now, where we're saying to ourselves, God, I want to be blessed. I want you to do every promise that you've spoken in my life, and I'm waiting on the promises of God. And when we're waiting on the promises of God, we can't tell God how to do it. I get to the place when we get to spiritual maturity in God. When you get to spiritual maturity in God, it doesn't really matter how you bless me, nor do I try to figure out how he's going to do it. What I do is I'm in a place where now, God, when you bless me, I'm not saying it has to be this way, this year, or this time, but I'm in a place of expectation that when it happens, I'm going to be ready for the blessings of God. Here this man is in a place where God challenges him to get up off his bed and to walk. Oh, my God. He gets up from where he is, and the thing that's been holding him for 38 years, the thing that has been holding him down and holding him back, the fears and the failures that have kept him in a place where people just looked at him and knew that every time they showed up to the pool of Bethesda, that this man would always be there. He was just like a centerpiece, just like a piece of furniture. He was just like a side chair. He was just like something that was expected to always be there, and those who would come to the pool of Bethesda or those who were around him know that he's been there at least 30 years plus. But now here there is change about to happen for this man. This is the day of excitement, and it didn't come the way he expected it to come. He was been waiting for the troubling of the water, but here water came and troubled him, and it caused him to see that there is another way, that God could do something that is unexpected. I'm coming to you on this line today, and I'm trying to provoke you to understand that God has a blessing for you that is unexpected, and God is about to take you out of your place of confinement, your place where you have been set back, but God is getting ready to set you up for the greatest blessing of your life. And you've been looking at it the wrong way. God said, I'm about to come in your direction. Water is about to come to you. You don't have to come to water. Water is about to come to you. And the water of God just comes and he will overshadow you. He speaks to the man. Oh, my God, and challenges him to pick up his bed and walk. Here this man picks up his bed.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And he begins to walk. He begins to do like Baby New Year. I'm trying to help somebody because this is a new year. And Baby New Year is one of my favorite shows when I was growing up as a kid. All he had to do was put one foot in front of the other. He didn't run, but he took his time. And you've got to understand there's going to be a process that you're going to have to go through. But if you take this time to put one foot in front of the other and allow your faith to work for you, even if you can't see the invisible staircase that you're going to go through. That's what I love about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that. And when we understand that faith is something that you have complete confidence in something or in someone, hope is a wish or desire that is the expectancy of one's fulfillment. If I put my faith and my hope together, if I believe God that it brings about a supernatural event that contradicts all laws, known laws of nature, and now I'm in a place now where I'm not just believing God to bless me, but I need God to go against the laws of nature. This wasn't supposed to happen. In this man's mindset, this is not supposed to happen because the only way I know that I'm going to be healed is by the troubling of this pool, the troubling of the water. This was not supposed to happen. I'm trying to help somebody today. I feel God in here today. It's not supposed to happen for you. There are people who don't believe that it's supposed to happen for you. There are people that don't want it to happen for you. But God said, I'm in your direction, about to make a change for you that everybody thought wasn't supposed to happen. The crazy thing about this text is, Elder Clay, is that this happens on a Sabbath day.
Yes.
And it was on the same day that was the Sabbath. The Bible says that the man was cured. The man was made well. And it was on a Sabbath day. And so here the Jews see this man. And they know this is the same man that's been at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And they question this man, and they ask him, how are you cured? Who did this? And he said, don't you realize this is the Sabbath day? It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Why are you carrying your bed? The only reason why I'm carrying my bed is because I'm healed. Oh, my God. Nobody is looking at the fact that the man is healed. They're just looking at the fact that they're following tradition, and they're looking at the fact that he's carrying his bed. They're not looking at the fact that the man ain't been walking. He's been sitting at a pool for 38 years. My question would not be, why are you carrying your bed? But how are you carrying your bed? But I know you've been sitting by that pool for 38 years, and this particular day God sees fit for this man to be healed. He carries his bed, and he begins to walk. And the only thing that these people can think of is, why are you carrying your bed? I'm going to let somebody know on tonight that everybody's not going to be happy about the work that God does in your life. Not going to be happy at the very fact that you've been healed, because really true believers and true friends and true people who are want to see the miracles of God to take place in your life ain't going to ask you how in the world could you do this on the Sabbath day, but they're going to ask who did it, because if you got a miracle, tell me how in the world I need a miracle from God. My question is not why are you working by carrying your bed. My question is, who did this so that I can get a blessing too? When they find out how this happened, the Bible says they begin to hate Jesus even the more. Can I tell you that everybody ain't going to love your Savior? Everybody ain't going to love you. There's always, as we often say, there's always that are going to be haters among you. There are going to always be somebody who's not going to be happy about your deliverance. There's always going to be somebody that is not going to praise God for your destiny and you going to your promise. But I come to let you know you cannot allow that to stop you from getting to where you're supposed to go. You're not supposed to let it stop you from getting to your destiny, because if you allow that to stop you, you will find yourself back in a place of failure, back in a place of confinement. But I get to the point where I welcome haters, because they get me to a place where they motivate me to go to the next step in my life, because I don't even know how I got here. Actually, I'm not even supposed to be here, but since I am here, oh, my God, I'm going to just tell everybody I know how God has blessed me. And so we are at the point here where we see God does something supernatural for somebody who is in need of it. Somebody who needs a blessing. And there's somebody in on this line tonight that is in need of blessings. I come to let you know, there are many of us who may be going through some things that we've been going through for years, and we don't see an outcome. That's why there's such a high suicidal rate, not only those in the world, but there's a suicidal rate even in the church now. The devil has crept in the church to make people believe that you cannot get past this, or the situation that you're in now is greater than your God. And so when we get to the place where we understand that we're going to have to accept those things that we are going to go through, and the process may be hard, process may be great, but yet and still there is a God that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be with you to the very end of the world. And so my subject again is that you don't need this water. God has another way to get you what you need, even when you can't see it. Because faith that is seen is not faith. We would have no need for faith if we already knew what God was going to do for our life. That's why God only allows you to see only a portion of where he's taking you to. He lets you know what your promise is, but he doesn't tell you how you're going to get to your promise. Because if he tells you how you're going to get to your promise, and he shows you every obstacle and setback, you may never leave your start to get to your finish. So I want to really share with you on tonight that encourage you tonight that the blessings of God are here for you. I know we're in 2016, and there are many of you who have faced many trials over your life. the Bible lets us know that trials come and tribulations come to make us stronger. And the reason why you have gotten to the place where you have made it to 2016 is because there was a trial or tribulation that showed up in your life that you overtook, and you were stronger than that trial and the tribulation. And so now that I'm stronger than the thing that had taken hold of me, I've come to the conclusion that that sometimes we embrace things that we can just let go. And the only reason why they're still in our lives is not because they're holding on to us, but we're holding on to it. And I want to share with you, you don't have to hold on to sickness. You don't have to hold on to financial burdens. You don't have to hold on to people that don't really want you to hold on to them. And sometimes the only reason why there's a delay in your progress is because you have not learned how to let go of the very thing that you've been holding on to, but has not been that hasn't been holding on to you. So I believe this year is the year where you have to step out and let go. I was at the church on yesterday, and I was talking to my goddaughter, and I was talking to her little cousin. He's about 7 years old, and they were sharing with me. We have our empowerment conference in the next coming week, and they were saying, "Pastor, are you going to go?" I said, "I can't make it because I have to work." And they said, "Well," the little boy said to me, he says, "Well, why don't you just quit?" And I looked at him and I said, "You know what? It's not that easy." He says, "Why? All you have to do is go and tell them I can't work here no more. I'm leaving." And there are many who are here know that I'm looking to go into full-time ministry. And this has been a thing that has been holding me back, for the fear that I can't step out because I've been waiting for God to do something in a way. And sometimes we are the ones that's going to have to make a step in order for God to change our situation, and that's the whole thing about faith. Faith has to work even when we don't see how it's going to work. And the young boy, he encouraged me, because to him, it's just that easy. And it's something about a childlike faith, because they don't see the situations or the burdens that you go through, that if I do that, then that's going to cause a reaction to this. Faith says, listen, you have to step out on what you don't see and believe that God is going to turn it over for your good in order for him to bless you. And so I want to share with you on today that sometimes you're going to have to step out knowing that it's the will of God for your life. Don't step out there if God didn't tell you to do it. You have to step out on your faith believing that God is going to hold you up. And know that he is, because that is the promise of God, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm going to open up the line tonight that anybody that wants to share and anything that we can encourage you on tonight to let you know that God is still a deliverer. He's still a healer, and he will make ways for you. The line is open for those who have something to encourage somebody on tonight.
If you'd like to add something, please push number one on your keypad so that I can include you into the conversation. Just hit number one.
And we have 2-3, 4-2-3. Hold on. 4-2-3, you're on, and 6-3-1, you're on after that.
This is Pastor Robinson. What was the pastor's name again? What was her name?
Pastor Nixon.
Pastor Nixon, I just want to thank you for that encouraging word. I'm sitting here soaking all of this in, and I just want you to know that you have encouraged me tonight. I needed that word because I'm in a place where I've been stuck for a long time. And I'm trying to get out. So just want to say to you, God bless you, and thank you so much for that word.
Bless you, sir.
Thank you so much for the encouragement.
Thank you.
Amen. Area code 216. Area code 216. Did you have a question, comment, or request?
I do have a request. Just facing a troubling time within my marriage. It's a new marriage. And I just want prayer, you know, that we would make it through and have a successful marriage.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Nixon, did you want to pray?
Absolutely, absolutely. Father God, we thank you for this man of God. I trust and believe, God, that, God, you can heal all things. God, you can change all situations. And so I pray, oh God, for this man of God who is coming to you, coming to the body of Christ and all those who are on the line tonight. I'm believing, God, for my brother. God, I ask that you give him direction, for he is the head of his household. And God, we thank you even now that, God, you touch him, not only touch him, but touch his wife. God, that, God, we see so many families breaking apart. God, we ask that you mend this together. I pray, oh God, today that you will show them your glory. God, that even though they're going through a process, they're going through a troubling time, as many have before, but we pray tonight that, God, that you change their situation tonight. I encourage my brother tonight, God, that you will show him your glory. Show him that, God, you are a God, and that when you change this situation, that you'll bring the love back, you bring the passion back, that, God, whatever situation that they're going through, whatever the enemy is trying to do, destroy this family, I bind the hand of the enemy that will try to destroy a network of a family. And I pray, God, today that there shall be a turnaround on today in the mighty name of Jesus. We come together as a body of believers on the behalf of my brother on today, and we believe, God, for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you.
We have another 216 caller. We have another 216. Did you have anything to say?
Pastor Nixon.
Yes, sir.
This is Pastor Robinson again. I wanted to ask if you and Brother John and his wife and anyone else that's out there that's prayer warriors, I need prayer for a church member of mine who has fallen ill. He's a young man, and he's been in a cardiac care unit now for about a week, and he needs your prayers. His name is Termaine Glenn, Termaine Glenn.
Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you as this prayer request has come. God, we know that you are a healer. We've seen it time and time again. God, we know that you are a deliverer. So we speak to Tyrone on today. We pray that these prayers will walk to where he is, to the hospital and by his bedside. Let your healing virtue take place. God, we know that when the man wanted his daughter to be healed, you didn't even have to be there. But your voice went to where that child was and brought deliverance. And so we speak healing. Now, in the name of Jesus, we come together as a body of believers that this young man will raise up from where he is. We pray, oh God, the will of God for his life. Oh God, whatever, God, you have called for this young man to do, I pray, oh God, that he will be able to perform. We come together trusting and believe that the healing virtue of God shall go to his bedside. And God, that you will touch him. I pray, oh God, today that all those that are attached to this young man, that God, when they see him again, that he shall rise up off his bed and he shall walk in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
God, we give you thanks and we give you praise now in advance for what you shall do. And God, we pray that the mercy of God, the grace of God, be over this young man in Jesus' mighty name.
In
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. God, we thank you. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you.
If anyone else would like to say anything, please press number one. 631, are you? Do you have anything to say? 631.
Okay, yes. You're hot. 631, your mic is on.
Pastor Nixon?
Yes.
This is Sister Regina.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Okay. You have encouraged me with this word that you have preached just previously, and it just encouraged me with this healing that I've been going through, and you know what I've been through the last week. And
amen.
As far as challenges coming forth, I didn't foresee through this week. And through the grace of God, I just have some direction, and I just say thank you.
God bless you
for that healing. That healing word.
Amen.
Jesus is our healer. Yes. Jehovah Rapha. Yes. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah Nisi. Yes. He's our everything. Yes. He's our banner. Jehovah Tishpamut. Praise the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad that he wasn't into the legalization of when someone should be healed. That could be healed. Imagine. Thank you for grace. We thank you. Do you have anything else to say? We're going to close in about 5 minutes, but I want to give... if there's anyone that has something on their heart that they'd like to share, an encouraging word for Pastor Nixon, something that they'd like to share, I'm going to open up some more mics.
I'd like to thank Pastor Nixon for the word. It's also been very inspiring. And it was a law that you, I mean, the Sabbath didn't work, you know. But anyway, keep in mind who made the law. And having faith, you know, in God, and being able to see the doors that have been opened for you that you have had your eyes closed and you don't see, and you don't take the options that the Lord gives you. But by faith, you move in the right direction and not just lay there dormant and not move when you've been given opportunities.
Amen.
I also... Yes, this is Pastor Rose Cook. I thank God for this word that Pastor Dawn gave on today, because it was an end-time word and an encouraging word. When she was talking about how the man was at the pool, and we hold on to our sicknesses, when she was talking about that, I was thinking about how we take ownership of a lot of stuff. And we don't have to take that ownership, because we know that God is a healer and he's a deliverer. And we have to know that when you're going through, you got to look out of a way of escape and realize, I am healed because I believe in God, and God is our healer. So we have to put that in our spirit. When we are down and out and we're going through, you got to know that you're going to make it through no matter what you're going through. And no matter what it looks like, know that God is going to make a way for you and that he's going to bring you out. And we must keep focused on that as we go through our trials and tribulations.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, on-time word for sure. This is very encouraging for me. And one that I've already shared it and sent the link out by text, you know, so that other folks can get it. For me personally, in ministering of the message ministry to me, and I thank you so much for your willingness to share the word, to be on, to support us with Blog Talk Radio, and to be here with us this evening. I do appreciate it.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I just want to end with this. This thing really spoke to me, and the Lord gave me this. And there's something I said in this message. I want everybody to hear this and kind of embrace this, because a lot of times we accept things and don't have to. And that is, never accept being a failure, because the process of being blessed is too hard. I want us to put that in our spirit, because we don't have to be failures, and we don't have to accept failure, because things seem so hard for us. Whether it seems marriage is hard, whether we're dealing with illness, or even those who are pastors on the line, because it seems difficult because of ministry, and what may seem like a failure now will become your success later. What seems a heartbreak now may end up being the very thing that blesses you, the thing that you think is a curse. Is the very thing that's going to be your blessing. So don't embrace that as a failure. Look at it as something that's going to catapult you into your blessing. Amen?
Amen. Thank you for that. That was very timely there. I've been dealing myself with some math. I've been going to school and I've been dealing with some math, and I just feel like sometimes that I can't do it. And that was very encouraging also. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for tuning in. Each and every Wednesday, we're here at 7 o'clock, and we just come to encourage you, the Word, and encourage one another at a time such as this. There are trials and tribulations all over, and we need to come together as a unit, as a people, to bless. It doesn't make a difference where you are. You can call in from anywhere and be blessed, and we just ask that you would just bring the Word, that others would call in and would be encouraged and blessed. We thank you once again. And until we see you next week, remember that we love you, but God loves you more. Pastor, if you would like to pray us on out, and we're going to close on out, because the time is at the hour, we're at the hour.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Elder Clay, and your lovely wife for allowing me to use this time on the third Saturday and being a blessing. Our Father and our God, we thank you.
Yes.